NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. This is NPR.
We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we're 91.5 Lawrence and 90.3 Chanute. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. Mostly clear skies this evening and overnight tonight. Lows tonight in the mid-60s. Highs tomorrow in the mid-80s with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. It's 85 degrees in Lawrence. This is KPR.
This is All Things Considered from...
We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we're 91.5 Lawrence and 99.5 Manhattan. Check out the KPR app for Android and Apple. It's free, and you can take Kansas Public Radio with you everywhere you go.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, working to address major challenges in disease prevention and treatment, sustainable energy solutions, and more. Information about KU research is at ku.edu.
Scientists have known for some time that insect population around people is down. But now, new research shows that even in pristine, untouched areas, insect populations are still on the decline. We'll find out more about that and how climate change figures into that equation as All Things Considered continues on KPR. What's for dinner tonight? Fish? Beef? Join us for Evening Classical on KPR with Destiny. We'll hear the Trout Quintet, the Mignon Overture, and play a little cards with the Queen of Spades. That's on Evening Classical with Destiny, starting at 7 o'clock this evening on Kansas Public Radio. If you're joining us on KPR2, it's Reveal at 7 o'clock. Stay with us. Mostly clear skies overnight tonight with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny for tomorrow with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow in the mid-80s. It's 85 degrees in Lawrence, 85 in Manhattan. This is KPR.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from BritBox, committed to help.
I loved the play live, and the riches of the text and the themes are profound.
We get a sneak peek tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us for Morning Edition tomorrow morning from 5 to 9 o'clock here on Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we're 91.5 Lawrence and 96.1 FM in Lawrence. We're online at kansaspublicradio.org. Coming up next, it's the latest news from NPR, followed by news from the KPR newsroom. That's all ahead. And another half hour of All Things Considered here on KPR.
Trump says he expects to finalize the deal with Chinese leader Xi Jinping on Friday. Jeff Brumfield, NPR News.
On Wall Street, stocks finish lower across the board one day before the Fed is expected to cut its benchmark interest rate for the first time this year. The Dow is down about 0.25%. This is NPR.
From the KPR newsroom, I'm Kay McIntyre. Good evening. The National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for parts of Johnson and Wyandotte County. The storm is currently located around Miriam, Kansas, and is nearly stationary. The National Weather Service is reporting 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts and half-dollar size hail. That thunderstorm warning located for portions of central Wyandotte and northeastern Johnson County. That warning is set to expire at 6:45. Kansans could see their health insurance costs skyrocket, and some could lose coverage if Congress does not renew a tax credit that expires at the end of this year. More than 22 million Americans rely on the health tax care credit to afford health insurance. 9 in 10 Affordable Care Act enrollees in Kansas took advantage of those credits to lower their health insurance premiums. Catherine Hempstead is with the nonprofit Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. She says monthly out-of-pocket health insurance costs could spike for people using the marketplace if the credit is not renewed.
Many will decide that they can't afford to renew their coverage, and then the market is going to become sort of increasingly expensive for the people that stay in it.
Hempstead said Congress could still choose to extend the credit, otherwise costs will begin to tick up come January. Kansas State University is seeking to remove the word diversity from its mission statement. The Lawrence Journal World reports that K-State officials will ask the Board of Regents to modify the university's mission statement at their meeting tomorrow. The current mission statement, adopted in 2008, reads, "The university embraces diversity." The proposed change would remove the word diversity so that the mission statement would read, "The university embraces all." A staff memo says the change is in response to Senate Bill 125, approved earlier this year. Attendance at this year's Kansas State Fair was down by several thousand people. KAKE reports that just over 300,000 people attended the 2025 fair in Hutchinson. That's down from almost 329,000 last year and 330,000 in 2023. Fair organizers say rainy weather may be the culprit. From the KPR newsroom, I'm Kay McIntyre.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from your part-time control.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Hey, it's A. Martinez. We've all been there. You get a phone call or knock on your door too early in the morning before you're fully awake. Who and why, you wonder, at this hour? For something you want to hear first thing, tune in to Morning Edition. We'll get you up to date on the day's biggest headlines and bring you unexpected stories that make you smile. Listen whenever you're ready, weekday mornings from NPR News.
We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We're 91.5 Lawrence and 99.5 Manhattan. We're online at kansaspublicradio.org. An update on that thunderstorm moving across the KPR listening area. The National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for northeastern Wyandotte County, the Kansas City Metro, and in Missouri, Clay, Jackson, and Platte counties. Here in Kansas, along Interstate 70, between mile markers 419 and 423, that severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 7:15. Very strong winds are associated with this storm, as well as hail, so be careful out there. Again, that severe thunderstorm warning in effect for the next 25 minutes for portions of the KPR listening area.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care, local arborists who provide professional tree care in the greater Lawrence area and who can be reached at kansastreecare.com or at 785-843-TREE.
Did your friendships change as you moved into middle age? Yeah, mine did too. Coming up, we'll talk to the author of a new book that explores friendship in middle age, The Wilderness by Angela Fortnoy. That's just ahead on KPR.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm
sleeplessness to help people fall asleep. Learn more at ZQuil.com. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
Keanu Reeves is making his Broadway debut with Alex Winter from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, a sneak peek at Waiting for Godot, on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us for Morning Edition tomorrow morning from 5 to 9 o'clock here on Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming the ROM Trio, a two trumpet and piano family ensemble, Sunday, September 28th, 2 p.m. in the Pavilion. Tickets available at lead.ku.edu.
Coming up next here on Kansas Public Radio, it's Evening Classical with Destiny. Tonight, what's for dinner? Fish? Steak? Beef? Also, a little cards with the Queen of Spades. That's all ahead with Destiny tonight on Evening Classical, following the latest news from NPR. A reminder that portions of the KPR listening area are currently under a severe thunderstorm watch that is in effect until 7:15 for northeastern Wyandotte County, the entire Casey metro area, and Clay, Jackson, and Platte counties in Missouri. Again, a severe thunderstorm warning in effect till 7:15.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Music Alliance, presenting music showcases September 19th and 20th with more than 25 acts performing across Lawrence, as well as an all-ages show in the Lawrence Public Library lawn. Tickets at Mixmaster2025.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Prosecutors in Utah say they will be seeking the death penalty for the 22-year-old man being held in the killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, County Attorney Jeff Gray.
I do not take this decision lightly, and it is a decision I have made independently as county attorney, based solely on the available evidence and circumstances and nature of the crime.
Prosecutors unveiled seven charges filed against Tyler Robinson today. They include aggravated murder, a capital crime in Utah. Robinson had his first court appearance late today. He appeared virtually from a county jail where he will remain without bail. Charging documents show that a note was left under Robinson's keyboard saying he planned to kill Kirk and that he'd been planning the killing for about a week. 27-year-old Luigi Mangione was also in court today. He's the man being held in New York for the murder of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson in December last year. The judge in his case today threw out two terrorism-related charges, ruling there is no evidence that Mangione intended to intimidate the public. Mangione, however, remains charged with other criminal counts, including second-degree murder. Secretary of State Marco Rubio warning anyone in the U.S. on a visa who cheered on the assassination of Charlie Kirk that they can be deported. As NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports, he's posted on social media that visa revocations are underway.
America will not host foreigners who celebrate the death of our fellow citizens. That's what Rubio wrote on X in the wake of the killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. But asked whether any visas have been revoked yet, Rubio told reporters as he was traveling from the Middle East to London that the process is only getting started.
But I'm sure there'll be some that are revoked. There's no shortage of idiots around the world that have decided it's a great idea to murder someone. We don't want people like that in our country.
Deputy Secretary Christopher Landau says he has asked consular officials to follow up on all the tips he's receiving on social media. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
Eli Lilly is working on a new obesity drug, but instead of an injection, it's a pill. New study data offers a glimpse of how well it works. Here's NPR's Sydney Lupkin reporting.
Patients taking the highest dose of Eli Lilly's experimental obesity pill lost an average of 11.2% of their body weight. That's according to a new study of more than 3,000 patients with obesity taking orforglipron for almost a year and a half. It was published in the New England Journal of Medicine Tuesday. Funded by Eli Lilly, the study also suggested the drug had similar adverse events to other obesity drugs on the market. Eli Lilly announced results of a related study in August. The company's stock tumbled when the drug resulted in less weight loss compared with Novo Nordisk's Wegovy injection. Sydney Lupkin, NPR News.
This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate September 16th. The roster of dwarf planets keeps growing, but it's not official. There's no league office to tell us who's on the roster and who's not. Various groups keep their own lists, but they don't agree on which objects belong. The dwarf planet category was formalized a couple of decades ago. Astronomers had discovered some new Pluto-like objects beyond the orbit of Neptune. They had to decide whether to add those objects to the roster of planets or to put them in a new category. So in 2006, the International Astronomical Union voted to create the dwarf planet designation. A dwarf planet was defined as a body that's large enough for its gravity to pull it into a rounded shape, but not large enough to clear its orbit of other bodies. The initial list included Pluto and three other distant objects, plus Ceres, the largest asteroid. Since then, astronomers have discovered thousands more objects in the realm of Pluto and beyond. Most of them are fairly small, but some are larger. Because they're so far away, though, it can be tough to figure out an exact size and mass. So that makes it harder to decide whether some of these bodies are dwarf planets or just big comets or asteroids. Today, most planetary scientists agree on a core list of about 10 dwarf planets. Another dozen or so are considered good candidates. And many more are possibilities, including a recently discovered one that we'll talk about tomorrow. You can find out how to subscribe to our daily program at Stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Support for Stardate on KPR comes from KJHK, hosting their fall membership drive tomorrow through Sunday. Information on how to support KJHK is available at kjhk.org. Ambros Tama here on KPR, Mignon Overture with Seiji Ozawa and the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Hello there, I am Destiny and I am hungry for a filet mignon, which is what inspired the Mignon Overture, which has nothing to do with a filet mignon. However, I thought it would be funny. So, do all of you remember that TV commercial? Bum 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 bum. The beef at What's for Dinner? Yes, clearly I'm in a beef mood. So we are going to hear that music this hour. Yes, it's my big surprise for you this Tuesday evening. Thank you for being here. Speaking of beef, I thought we should get into some meaty music right now, like Brahms, some real meat and potatoes, as they say. I've got the London Symphony Orchestra performing his Serenade No. 2. It's right now on Kansas Public Radio.
The lovely Serenade No. 2 by Brahms here on Kansas Public Radio.
brought to you by the London Symphony Orchestra. Gorgeous music. I often refer to Brahms as the meat and potatoes of the repertoire. Well, we're going to hear about Beef It's What's for Dinner in about 8 minutes. I know you can't wait. You have no idea what I'm talking about. But I bet some of you do. Start guessing the composer and the name. Classics Live, Thursday night. If you are feeling nostalgic, speaking of Beef It's What's for Dinner, Kyle Wiley-Pickett and the Topeka Symphony focused on film music for their April 2004 concert. The Mission, Breakfast at Tiffany's, Last of the Mohicans, I know, old nostalgic movies, and more in full symphonic sound. That's Thursday evening at 7, only on Kansas Public Radio. And support for classical music on KPR comes from the Kansas City Monarchs, presenting the return of the KC Blues and Jazz Festival October 3rd and 4th at Legends Field. Featuring Stanley Clark and more, event details at monarchsbaseball.com. Well, as many of you know, I'm a violinist, and it's been quite a while since I've played Niccolo Paganini's Sonata for violin and guitar, both on the violin and the radio. So we are going to do that right now. I picked these two performers because I really wanted to say the violinist's name, Luigi Alberto Bianchi. That's great. With Maurizio Preda on guitar. Enjoy on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
I just love the violin and the guitar together here on KPR. Paganini, a great violinist and composer. The soloist, or soloists, shall I say. Luigi Alberto Bianchi on violin and Maurizio Preda on guitar. Awesome. Awesome indeed. You know who else is awesome? Cromwell Environmental. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Cromwell Environmental, serving Kansas and Missouri since 1982 with a variety of environmental services, from indoor air quality and mold services to energy audits and solar energy installation. More information at cromwellenvironmental.com. Okay, who guessed the hour ender? Anyone? Aaron Copland's Hoedown from Rodeo, or Rodeo, as the fancy folks say. Yes, it features the Beef It's What's for Dinner TV commercial music. Yay! I gotta go get me that filet mignon. This recording is with Antal Durati and the Minneapolis Symphony Orchestra. Enjoy on KPR. That's a good one. Copland's Hoedown from Rodeo here on KPR. Antal Durati and the Minneapolis Symphony Orchestra. Don't go anywhere. More awesome music after NPR News.
Hey, it's Leila Fadil. Whether it's a roadside stop in Missouri,
they have like signs and billboards. It says a very big halal, you know. So.
Or in a forest searching for brook trout.
It's just cool. Cool to see them persist and knowing they've been here for so long and they still find a way to make it.
Morning Edition from NPR News is always where the story is. Come along with us every weekday morning.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. For KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Prairie Paws Animal Shelter with locations in Ottawa, Manhattan, and Emporia, providing compassionate care for animals in need, including spay and neuter programs to help reduce pet overpopulation. Details at prairiepaws.org. And support for news on KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, presenting Turning Research, Policy Solutions, and Civic Engagement into Results for Kansas Women, with United We CEO Wendy Doyle on September 24th. More at doleinstitute.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Utah prosecutors are seeking the death penalty for 22-year-old Tyler Robinson, the man charged in the murder of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Robinson had his first court appearance today. Martha Harris with member station KUER has more.
Tyler Robinson appeared virtually from the Utah County Jail. He is being held there without bail. Robinson sat silently in front of a white wall, except when he said his name. In the brief hearing, a Utah judge read Robinson the 7 charges against him. Robinson nodded as the judge talked to him, but did not show much emotion. He has been charged with aggravated murder. Prosecutors have filed their intent to seek the death penalty. The judge said a defense lawyer will be appointed to represent Robinson because of his financial circumstances. The judge also approved a protective order from Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica Kirk. This prohibits Robinson from contacting her. For NPR News, I'm Martha Harris in Provo, Utah.
FBI Director Kash Patel appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee today, pushing back against questions about his handling of the Charlie Kirk investigation and the firings of veteran FBI officials who claimed they were dismissed for political reasons. Safety concerns among lawmakers have grown in the days following the murder of the activist Charlie Kirk. NPR's Barbara Spronta reports that House Republicans are proposing increasing security funding by $30 million to protect against political violence.
The $30 million is included in a stopgap bill to fund the government that GOP leaders hope to approve later this week to avoid a government shutdown. There are existing programs for security for members, including one that piloted in July that increases members' security funds from $150 a month to $5,000 a month, but that is expiring at the end of September. The U.S. Capitol Police told NPR its agents are on track to work through roughly 14,000 threat assessment cases by the end of the year, a significant uptick from years past. Barbara Sprunt, NPR News, the Capitol.
A key vaccine advisory panel at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention may vote to push the first dose of the hepatitis B vaccine to age 4 for most kids. The panel's members were handpicked by Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. from KFF Health News. Jackie Fortier reports.
For more than 30 years, the CDC has advised that babies get their first dose of the hepatitis B vaccine at birth. The shot protects kids from the incurable virus that can lead to liver cancer. Pushing vaccination to later in a child's life could backfire, says pediatrician Eric Ball.
Every child should get a hepatitis B vaccine at birth to prevent those cases where a test might be incorrect or a mother might have unknowingly contracted hepatitis B.
The vote is expected Thursday during the next meeting of the CDC Vaccine Advisory Panel.
Jackie Fortier with KFF Health News, and you're listening to NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Skoll Foundation, dedicated to powering social innovators to transform the world. Learn more at skoll.org. This is Kansas Public Radio. an inspired choice, I would say, to open our 8 p.m. hour here on KPR, Franz von Suppé's Queen of Spades Overture, Sir Neville Mariner and Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. I am Destiny. Thanks for being here. And if you know me, you know that I love playing solitaire on my phone, the digital version, so that I can press undo. I know it's so cheating. But you see, my father's last name was Hoyle. No relation to the playing card company. If only. Wow, I bet they are doing well. Well, anyhow, card games have been on my mind, and the Queen of Spades Overture just, it really spoke to me. And I really like the music. I hope you liked it too. I found a really neat serenade from 1909 by Scott Joplin, and a violinist is playing it, Itzhak Perlman. That's going to be my treat for you towards the end of the hour. Last hour I was craving filet mignon, well this hour I'm craving fish. Let's listen to Schubert's quintet, The Trout. It's right now on KPR with Emmanuel Axe on piano, Pam Frank on violin, Yo-Yo Ma on cello, Edgar Meyer on bass, and Rebecca Young on viola. My guess, it's probably going to be pretty good on KPR. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Gilbert's Trout Quintet here on KPR with quite a few great players. Emmanuel Axe, piano, Pam Frank, violin, Yo-Yo Ma on cello, Edgar Meyer, bass, and Rebecca Young, viola. Woo! Indeed. I love the music that we play here on KPR, and I love you, our dear listeners. 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City. We have so many frequencies, and you know you keep us on the air. Every dollar makes a difference to KPR. This is where I am asking very kindly for your contribution. Every gift matters, if it's five here, 10 there. Even the occasional $100 a month contribution makes a ginormous difference. Individual donations from thousands of listeners just like you make up the largest share of our income. And that's why your sustaining gift now is so important. You can become a sustainer today at kansaspublicradio.org. Or if you own a business, you can support your community and promote your business by sponsoring KPR. You can find out more about that at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org. And now for this serenade by Scott Joplin. It's called Solace, a Mexican serenade. And I've got Itzhak Perlman on the violin and Andre Previn on the piano. I hope you enjoy this evening classical hour ender on KPR. Thank you. Scott Joplin's Solace, a Mexican serenade from 1909 with Perlman and Previn here on KPR. I'm Destiny. See you soon.
On Morning Edition, we hear from people with all kinds of expertise.
Trey Ryder, cornhole analyst.
Lars Gotrich is our heavy metal expert at NPR Music, and he's...
KLCC's Brian Bull shadowed a hornet hunter.
Something about Love Island USA expert. So, Brittany, for those who have not seen Love Island...
Learn something new with Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Theater Lawrence, presenting Next to Normal, a rock musical running September 19th through the 21st and 25th through the 28th. Details at theaterlawrence.com. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. For KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Delta Dental of Kansas, asking listeners when they last visited a dentist for a preventative checkup. Dentists can be found at deltadentalks.com/find. And KU Theater and Dance, featuring KU students in contemporary drama, dance, and musical comedy staged at Murphy Hall. Season lineup and tickets at kutheater.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Prosecutors in Utah say they will be seeking the death penalty for the 22-year-old man being held in the killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, County Attorney Jeff Gray.
I do not take this decision lightly, and it is a decision I have made independently as county attorney, based solely on the available evidence and circumstances and nature of the crime.
Prosecutors unveiled 7 charges filed against Tyler Robinson today. They include aggravated murder, a capital crime in Utah. Robinson had his first court appearance late today. He appeared virtually from a county jail where he will remain without bail. Charging documents show that a note was left under Robinson's keyboard saying he planned to kill Kirk and that he'd been planning the killing for about a week. A Senate Judiciary Subcommittee held a hearing today about children, artificial intelligence, and the harms of AI chatbots. Among those who testified were parents of 2 kids who died by suicide after extended interactions with AI chatbots. Here's NPR's Ritu Chatterjee.
Megan Garcia is a lawyer and a mother of 3 boys. Last year, her oldest son, Sewell Setzer III, died by suicide after a prolonged virtual relationship with a chatbot on Character AI. Garcia says the chatbot groomed and sexually exploited Sewell.
When Sewell confided suicidal thoughts, the chatbot never said, "I'm not human, I'm AI. You need to talk to a human and get help." The platform had no mechanisms to protect Sewell or to notify an adult.
Garcia has filed a lawsuit against Character Technology, which developed Character AI. Tech companies did not testify at the hearing, despite lawmakers' invitations. Ritu Chatterjee, NPR News.
President Trump has again extended the deadline for a nationwide TikTok ban, the 4th since he took office in January for his 2nd term. NPR's Jeff Brumfield reports this latest extension comes as the U.S. and China are nearing a deal for the popular social video app.
An executive order from the White House delayed the deadline for a TikTok ban until mid-December. It came just a day after the U.S. said it had a framework for a deal with China to sell the company to American buyers. Speaking at the White House, Trump said the deal was near.
You know, the kids wanted it so badly. I had parents calling me up. They don't want it for themselves. They want it for their kids. They say, if I don't get it done, they're in big trouble with their kids.
Trump says he expects to finalize the deal with Chinese leader Xi Jinping on Friday. Jeff Brumfield, NPR News.
President Trump is overseas in the United Kingdom. He arrived there this evening for a state visit. Trump and First Lady Melania Trump are staying the night at the U.S. ambassador's home. The 2-day visit officially gets underway tomorrow when Trump will be greeted by King Charles at Windsor Castle. And from Washington, you're listening to NPR News. Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz said on social media today that Gaza is burning. Israel has launched its long-threatened ground offensive in Gaza City. The military says ground troops began moving deeper into the city today and that the number of soldiers involved would rise in the coming days. Israel has pledged to seize control of the entire city. UN human rights experts accuse Israel of carrying out a genocide. A group of off-duty park rangers, the Resistance Rangers, says the Trump administration has flagged a photograph of an enslaved man with scars on his back for removal from display in a national park. NPR's Frank Langford has more on the Trump administration's campaign.
The 1863 photo shows scars on the back of an enslaved man named Peter Gordon, who was wounded by his masters. The takedown notice comes after the government told staff to flag content that might inappropriately disparage Americans or perpetuate what it calls a false reconstruction of the nation's history. Alan Spears oversees cultural resources at the National Parks Conservation Association. He says taking down the photo would be a mistake.
What's behind this is the notion of being able to soften or sanitize history as it's displayed at or interpreted at federal sites.
The Park Service has flagged other materials, including signs at George Washington's home in Philadelphia, that explain how he circumvented laws of the time to avoid having to free his slaves there. Frank Langford, NPR News, Washington.
Ahead of a decision on interest rates by the Federal Reserve tomorrow, Wall Street ended lower today. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ Composite each slipped 0.1%. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, supporting books, radio, podcasts, film, television, theater, and more to bridge science and the humanities, and the listeners who support this NPR station.
out of Central Florida, the Flying Horse Big Band opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on KPR with a Cedar Walton tune, Mosaic, an arrangement by Don Sickler. And it's from an album from just a couple of years ago called A Message from the Flying Horse Big Band. And all the music here was played by Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers originally. The solos there, tenor saxman Edmund Johnson and trumpeter Josh Mercado. Here on KPR, I'm Bob McWilliams, and just a bit, the new one from tenor saxophonist Sam Dillon. We've got the new one from singer Carmen Bradford in a big band setting, and pianist Fred Hirsch in a trio setting with some wonderful ballad playing by Fred. Up next, organist Akiko Tsuruga, who we lost over the weekend at the age of mid to upper 50s. It's the best I can find out about that. Akiko, a wonderful musician, who started playing organ at age 3 in her hometown of Osaka in Japan, became a professional organ player and piano player in Japan, came to the U.S. in 2001, and has built a great reputation over these years, playing with Lou Donaldson Quartet for some 15 years and more. Akiko, a beloved figure in the jazz community and a beloved figure, especially in the jazz organ world. We're going to hear the title track to her 2017 album, So Cute, So Bad, organist Akiko Tsuruga on KPR.
Thank you. Thank you.